Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Over the last decade and change, our first guest introduced a unique approach, a new approach to figure skating commentary via NBC Sports. We are referring to former figure skating champion Tara Lipinski, and she joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Nearly a month ago, Chime TV became the latest effort in establishing the Asian American equivalent of BET, Univision, Telemundo. Learn how things there are progressing later this hour from Chime President Bob Rose. Also ahead, Super Bowl 2023 reaction, Barney's comeback as a tune. Yes, that purple dinosaur is coming back. And our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you and you and especially you out there for joining us on this Monday afternoon edition of the program all about TV's current and future. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl, whatever side you were on. It's 53 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We have a wonderful hour in store for you, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. If you have a question or comment for either of our guests this hour, give us a call, and here's the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about the phone, no problem with us. We got the chat room going. Simon Apple 04 by name. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, home of the Eagles. He's already in the room, and we'd like you to be there too. All you got to do is go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and get on board. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen, and other people will be live with you. We are expecting Tara Lipinski, NBC Sports figure skating analyst, to join us live from wherever after these news notes. At this hour, numbers are still being crunched by Nielsen over how many people watched the Super Bowl last night on Fox. Given the nature of the game, with the Kansas City Chiefs winning 38-35 over the Philadelphia Eagles in a back-and-forth contest, some industry observers believe Fox's coverage may be a record setter or close. Fox is getting kudos for Kevin Burkhardt's play-by-play, Greg Olsen's analysis, and solid camera work and graphics. The most famous purple dinosaur in television history is about to resurface in animated form. That's right, Barney, whose live-action adventures for preschoolers enjoyed an 18-year daily run on PBS from 1992 to 2010 as Barney and Friends, will get a Toon series next year. Where to be named later. Mattel and Canada-based animation studio Nelvana will co-produce the new Barney series. Now, quickies, there's an executive shakeup at Showtime. Co-president Jana Winograd will depart, while other co-president Gary Levine switches to a senior creative advisory role. Fashion Hour Network Mega TV will change owners later this year. Fox Media will pay $64 million to acquire Mega TV from Spanish Broadcasting System, Inc. They're very well known as one of the top Spanish-language radio people or radio companies in America. New dating series Queen's Court arrives on Peacock March 16th. Holly Robinson Pete and Rodney Pete co-host. More on Peacock. Expect the second season of Paris Hilton unscripted program Paris in Love later this year. And staying with second seasons, Sex Life debuts its sophomore Netflix run on March 2nd. And Amazon Freebie is putting together Monumental, a series of intimate music performance specials. Ellie Goulding will be the first subject. And that is news notes for today. We are awaiting Tara Lipinski, the NBC Sports figure skating analyst, former Olympic and world figure skating champion, to join us momentarily. Tara, if you're hearing us, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And as soon as I hear that you're ready to go and see that you're ready to go on my computer screen, we will get you on the air. In the meantime, let's do our classic trivia segment. Second week in a row that we are showcasing this question. And if you're first with the correct answer, we have two prizes in play. One is the brand new book, Seven Ways to Become a Famous Doctor by Roland Perez. He's one of the hosts of America's Health Journal on PBS. It's also a 24-hour service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And the ultimate Petula Clark CD includes all of her great hits from the 60s and early 70s, like Downtown, I Know a Place, My Love, Sign of the Times, and much, much more. And both of those prizes can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name a game show, that's the game show, hosted by Bobby Van. He did three of them, in the 1970s and early 1980s. And we'll take one of them. All it takes is one of those three to have the correct answer. So all you got to do is email me with that answer and your name and address to simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the book, 7 Ways to Become a Famous Doctor by Roland Perez, and the Ultimate Petula Clark CD. Once again, let's give you that question. Name a game show hosted by Bobby Van. Name a game show hosted by Bobby Van. And again, the email you use is simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First with the correct answer wins. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. That's what we say around here. So do so. Become our latest winner today. And all the very best. Again, we are awaiting Tara Lipinski. That's NBC Sports and figure skating analyst to join us wherever she is. Tara, if you're listening, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see you ready to go on the air, we will get you on. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Bob Rose. He is the president of Chime TV, the first attempt in a long, long while at a network owned by and aimed at Asian Americans. The channel premiered on Charter Spectrum Systems here in New York and across the country last month. It's now about to complete its first month on the air, and it's a very exciting network, and we hope, as I said, we'll have Bob on at the bottom of the hour. First of two episodes that we are doing this week on Tomorrow Be Televised. Our second episode is at our regular time period, Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We got another good hour in store for you. There's a brand new series premiering Friday on Apple TV Plus called Hello Tomorrow, starring the Emmy winner from The Morning Show, Billy Crudup. And we will have the co-creators and executive producers of the show, Amit Balia and Lucas Gents, will be on. If you haven't heard about the program, Crudup plays a timeshare salesman from a near-Earth future. And it's a dramedy, and I understand it is a lot of fun. So you'll hear from the co-creators and executive producers, that's Amit Balia and Lucas Jensen. They will probably be our lead guests. Also on the program, we'll have a pair of Lifetime true crime made-for-TV movie executive producers and writers whose work you will see on Lifetime this Saturday and next Saturday, two straight Saturdays in a row. The films are A Rose for Her Grave, The Randy Roth Story. That'll be on February 18th. And then the following Saturday, it's 12 Desperate Hours, marking the made-for-TV directing debut of the popular, celebrated, and sometimes controversial actress Gina Gershon. Samantha Masses of Pump Up the Volume and other fun films is one of the stars. Again, we will hear from Connor Allen and Benjamin Anderson. They are the Lifetime made-for-TV movie executive producer and writers of both those films, and they will be with us, along with the co-creators of Hello Tomorrow, this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. All right, we are still awaiting Tara Lipinski to come on. So Tara, or somebody representing her, let's get her on the phone at ASAP. Number is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see on my computer screen that she is ready to go on the air, we will put her on the air. As you know, Tara has been an NBC Sports analyst covering figure skating with her partner in crime, Johnny Weir, for over a decade. And I think we now have Tara on the line. So let's bring on NBC Sports figure skating analyst Tara Lipinski. Hi, Tara.
Hi, how are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. It's great to have you on. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from sunny California.
Oh, great. Great to have you. Can you believe it has been over a decade since you started getting involved with NBC Sports as a figure skating analyst? It's been like 12 years or so now.
I know. It makes me feel very old. It feels like yesterday at times, and then at other times it feels like, you know, a very long time. And in fact, it is over a decade. So, yeah, I guess now I'm almost in the phase where I'm an analyst and commentator more than I was an athlete.
How would you say that your work as a figure skating analyst has evolved both solo and with Johnny Weir from then to now?
You know, it's really been one of those pinch me dream jobs because, you know, I worked very hard to break into that world. It's so difficult. There's such tradition and prestige of figure skating commentators that, you know, usually hold that seat for 20, maybe even 30 years. So I thought I was a little crazy. I remember my dad thinking like, oh, you want to be a commentator? Like, I don't know. There's only two seats. That's a hard thing to do. So, you know, getting into it, I put in a lot of work just working with, you know, I would do online stuff and then NBC Universal and then NBC Sports and then finally making it to NBC. So there was definitely, you know, years of the hard work to break in and to learn the business. But I feel so grateful and so lucky that, you know, Johnny and I, once we matched up, it was instant chemistry. It was like a long lost soul that, of course, I knew him, but it was like soulmates from the start. And working with Terry Gannon, it was just this perfect match where not only did we have fun, but I hope that over the years we've been able to educate and entertain these audiences. And every single year we've had more opportunities that, again, pinch me moments of going and working a Super Bowl or a Kentucky Derby or a National Dog Show, or Johnny and I hosted a Food Network Wedding Cake Championship, you know. So it's these other opportunities that I think have really have allowed us to expand beyond just figure skating.
Many people describe the style you and Johnny showcase on camera as very relatable to the audience, less on the technical side of what makes figure skating tick or figure skating competitions tick, and sometimes they use the words chit-chat. And I'm curious what you think about how the reviewers describe what you do. And I also want to get into how do you make Johnny Weir better and how does Johnny make you better?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, our style is very unique. I think we're both technicians at heart. That's my favorite part of the sport. I was known for sort of my technical ability and jumping, which was, you know, a passion of mine as a figure skater over other aspects of the sport. For me, I think, and for Johnny, we both love to get technical, and we try to do that at times and explain it in a way that to, you know, an audience member that has never put on figure skates, they understand. You know, we never want to get too inside baseball where we're saying things. You know, sometimes I'll watch a sport and that I don't know, and I'm like, what are these words? What are these terms? I don't understand. So we try really hard to think of fun analogies to really help educate the audience at home. And, you know, beyond that, skating's this niche sport that's a lot of fun, and we don't have a finish line. There's so many different aspects of the sport that make it, at least to us, super interesting. And we like to take a lighthearted approach that, you know, we entertain as well as educate, so that you can keep the attention of people at home, because our main goal is to make people fall in love with the sport. That's all we want. And the second half of your question, I think that's what makes the team we have, even with Terry Gannon, just, you know, so meant to be, because I think a lot of times, like any job you kind of head into, you're thinking so much about yourself. Even as a skater, I was in an individual sport, you know, it's highly competitive. I was only thinking about myself, how I could be better than everyone else, how I could be the best version of an athlete that I could be. But in this situation, you know, he's truly my best friend. So our sort of love for each other off camera, I think lends itself to a very unique working relationship where no one's looking to get in a line before someone else. I know his strengths. He knows mine. I want him to deliver that witty line. He knows that I'm going to do, you know, a breakdown of a replay really well. He knows that the statistics is like where I go. Like, we just have this balance. We want each other to shine. There's so many times I think of something and I tap him and I give him the note of like, this is you, take it away, because I know it's going to be amazing. And he'll do the same for me. And we're there to catch each other. If there's, you know, it's live television. So if you don't, you know, if you're not on your game, many things can go wrong. But it's such a relief to know that we're sitting next to each other and that we'll save each other each and every time.
And how does Terry, the play-by-play man for NBC on figure skating and other sports, by the way, too, how does he give you and Johnny the space to do what you do in a sport where there's no time, unlike football, for example, which we saw at the Super Bowl yesterday, there's no timeouts. There's no, like, stoppage of play. Once a routine starts, it goes for the full, you know, two, three, whatever minutes.
Right. And, I mean, that's what Terry does so well, too. I mean, he is the glue that keeps us together. He gets us to the places that, again, he knows that maybe Johnny will shine or that I will shine or that the broadcast will shine. And his experience in the sport, I mean, it's so full circle. He, you know, when I was at the national championships this last year, you know, when I was just 13 years old, he was the play-by-play for that event, you know, hearing his voice, you know, while I was skating. And here we are now working together for over a decade. But he really has so much fun with us. It just works. It's not forced. It's somehow we're family up there. And I think that hopefully that translates to everyone at home, that it's natural that we really all do care about each other in a unique way, even though it's a working relationship. It's like you're listening to friends chat about figure skating. And, you know, Terry's knowledge of the sport, like I said, he was calling an event when I was 13 years old, is so deep that, you know, if you're a true figure skating purist, you can't get much better than Terry Gannon.
You're hearing Tara Lipinski. She is NBC Sports figure skating commentator with Johnny Weir. And by the way, NBC recently had the U.S. Figure Skating Championships on in primetime on NBC. We're going to talk about that and about the and we're going to talk to Tara in a moment about where she sees the future of figure skating and Olympics on television in a little bit. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, or use our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. Again, coming your way Friday on Smart Be Televised. We'll have the co-creators and executive producers of the new Apple TV Plus series that premieres on Friday, Hello Tomorrow, starring Emmy winner Billy Crudup of The Morning Show. That's Amit Bella and Lucas Jensen. Plus, from Lifetime's made-for-TV movies, we'll have two executive producers and writers whose latest two films will be running on successive Saturday nights, this Saturday and next Saturday, Corin Allen and Benjamin Anderson. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. NBC just had the U.S. Figure Skating Championships more than a week ago. I did catch a little bit of on Friday, the Friday night. Unfortunately, it may have been the lowest viewed figure skating, U.S. Figure Skating Championships in TV memory. With 1.8 million viewers watched, that was fourth among five broadcast networks, according to Nielsen. What's your sense about where figure skating is at as a TV attraction?
Well, when we're up against a football game like that, we kind of knew where we would end up. And, you know, I think overall just figure skating is not in the same place as it was when I skated. You know, I was so lucky to be at the height of the sport. It was after the 1994 Olympics, and I had an incredible competitor, Michelle Kwan, to compete against, which made it very exciting. And I just think, you know, there were so many opportunities, and I lived in a very different world of figure skating than the skaters do now. And I think, again, our biggest hope is to really bring back, you know, viewers to the sport. And I think hopefully we've done a really good job at that. And we've brought in also people that are not just skating fans. You know, there's so many, I mean, that's the thing too. There's so many different ways to watch skating now. And if you're just strictly a skating fan, you're going to watch the world feed live. You're going to watch, you know, the feed without commentary, because that's, you know, this is what you live and breathe. But for us, it's really important to grab the people at home, the young people that maybe haven't watched skating in a while, and to bring them into the sport and hopefully over time build. But it's all cyclical. And you look at a sport like gymnastics, during my time, gymnastics was not nearly as popular as it is now. So, you know, it really depends to the faces and stars of the sport. And especially in women's figure skating in the U.S., there hasn't been a star name in, you know, over a decade.
Is there anyone out there, either in the U.S. or somewhere in the world, whether it's a male figure skater, female figure skater, pairs, ice dance, et cetera, who can break through not only with the public in the United States and the world, but also to a lot of places that in sports media that don't cover the sport. I mean, you rarely see it ever, a figure skating sequence on SportsCenter's Top 10 or on CBS Sports Network or on Fox Sports 1 or on local station sportscasts or on sports talk radio. It seems that figure skating and also the Olympics, winter and summer sports like gymnastics and track and field and skiing and so forth, the sports that made the Olympics fly with a lot of people starting in the 60s and 70s and so forth, it seems that they're, low on the sports conversation poll.
What are you saying? Just that skating isn't as popular as it was, obviously, in the 60s or the 70s, or, when you had these star names like Peggy Fleming and Scott Hamilton, and is that sort of what you're saying? Sorry.
I lost you on that one just a little bit. Compared to those days, and even, let's say, even the 80s, the 90s, and so forth, that those sports are not getting as much television coverage, or I should say sports media coverage, as it used to.
Well, yeah,
it's like USA Today, the national newspaper, daily newspaper,
right,
maybe the only place where you can find Olympic sports coverage on a year-round basis.
Right, and I mean, I think that's the difference. Like when I skated, Michelle and I were either on the cover of TV Guide or USA Today, multiple times, even when it wasn't an Olympic year. I think that, like I said, there just has been, a real lag. I mean, obviously we had Nathan Chen who won the Olympics for the men's this past Olympics, which was incredible. And I think during that, it goes to show you during the games, people tuned in to see Nathan probably more than they did other skating events. And I think you just have to look at, in the past, in the 90s especially, these skaters became household names, Oksana Bayul, Nancy Kerrigan, Michelle Kwan, and so it crossed into, pop culture, it crossed into a different realm of quote-unquote sports and an athlete. It wasn't just strictly an athlete, it was a household name, and I think knowing people's stories, and then that just built on itself, and you had real quote-unquote stars of skating that people love to tune in for. And I think now the sport really, there's other countries that are very strong, and again it does happen if you look back over the history of figure skating, and it is cyclical, but like right now in Russia and in Japan, skating's huge. These skaters there have media attention every single day. There's a million shows. There's a million entertainment shows. There's a million professional skating shows, much like it used to be in the United States. It's just in two different countries now and not so much here. But, hopefully over time, with new skaters popping up, that the audience can really get to know, that don't just come in for a year and then you don't see them or they're not winning these events, to keep people invested. I think that could really change the sport for the better.
Are the new skaters coming in with new approaches to skating? Way back when we had Jane Torval and Christopher Dean and that incredible bolero routine they did in the Winter Olympics totally transformed the whole idea of ice dancing, what you do, how you do it, what music you use, what movement you use. Is anyone on the scene now attempting to do that, bring new approaches, maybe incorporate elements of dance like jazz dance or ballet or modern or contemporary in it? I remember John Curry, the famous skater of the 70s, did that. And the skater from Russia who became controversial a year or two ago, you see that she was trying to do things that were very, very unique for the sport.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is incredible, movement in our sport always, and maybe it's not a name you know, but if you were watching consistently, you would appreciate the art and the evolution of where our sport has gone. I think it just takes, like I said, just a little more time to find a skater. We always say it, the cream rises to the top, that can combine the technical ability with the artistic ability and to really make that well-rounded once-in-a-lifetime skater. Nathan Chen was a great example of that, was able to do all these difficult quads and then mix it with, unique programs and thoughtful and, choreography. And I think you look at someone like Ilya Malinin, which he is a very new name, fresh face, but he is going to completely change the landscape of men's figure skating. He was the first person this year to land a quad axle, and it was something that I never thought I'd see in my sport ever. And I think that, you know, what he's doing on the ice is it's just mind-blowing. That's the only way to put it. It's like watching the moon landing. What he's doing technically is, you know, football fields away from anyone else. And he's really young, so he's going to need some time to mature and turn the artistic score on a little bit more to become well-rounded. But when he does, you look at someone like Simone Biles, and what she did was so far beyond what other people were doing technically. That's what we have in Ilya Malinin.
We have a few more minutes with Tara Lipinski, the NBC Sports figure skating analyst, former Olympic and world champion, by the way. Internet radio exclusive interview coming your way live from California and Nueva York, where yours truly, Simon Atbaum, is this afternoon on Smart TV Televised. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Tara, last year you and your partner in life did a documentary. It was a special or miniseries for Peacock about one of the craziest controversies in the history of figure skating competitions. Is that where you want to go, is to expand yourself doing documentary work, doing whether in skating or covering other sports? Where do you see things going? By the way, what was the reaction to the documentary you did last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a great great project, great reaction. And, you know, I was lucky enough to work with my husband who, you know, is, and it's not just a biased opinion, but, you know, he's, you know, pretty well known in the sports doc world. And what he does is I believe, so cutting edge and so different and so creative. And so I've watched him for years, you know, being married to him. And then we just had the idea over the pandemic, why don't we combine forces and see what we can do? And we really did that with meddling. And it was a crazy experience traveling all over the world in a pandemic, to Russia, to Canada, to France. We kind of hit all the places, but we were so proud of the final product. And, you know, it was such a fun experience that, yes, we definitely want to do more of these things together. But, you know, I think for me, I've been so used to, as an athlete, wearing so many hats, you know, starting out as a figure skater, then an Olympic athlete, then going to a professional figure skater and learning how to become an entertainer and tour with Stars on Ice, and then working with different networks. I had my own specials, and I was making cameo acting appearances and voiceovers, and then all of a sudden I was hosting, and then all of a sudden I'm an analyst, and, you know, now I'm a figure skating analyst as my, you know, bread and butter job. But another passion project for me right now is I'm hosting a show called Wedding Talk, that the first season's completely out, and it's, you know, on my own hosting the show with two incredible wedding event planners. But it's such a departure from my day job that I feel like I'm always open to taking on new roles. And I think I would get bored, just my personality, just doing one thing. So the busier I am, mm-hmm. and the more jobs I have and the more things that I can try that are outside my comfort zone, that's really always just been, I don't know, it's where I get my like adrenaline rush from now that I don't compete anymore. So yes, I want to do more with my husband, but I think, you know, even this Wedding Talk show has become such a passion that I hope to have many more seasons.
Mm-hmm. By the way, where is that wedding show running? And is it has already got a second season underway?
So we're hoping for a second season. You can see it on Crackle. We actually just released it. It's also with Chicken Soup for the Soul, which was such a full circle moment for me because as an athlete, as a young girl, I had all the books and it was a big source of inspiration for me. But you can, it's free on Crackle. It's free on Chicken Soup for the Soul. And then we'll be letting you, well, I'll let you know when it goes elsewhere because it will pop up other places soon, hopefully. And it's just been, it's been fun. I don't think there's really been a show like this in the wedding space. And my two co-hosts, Jose Relode and Jove Meyer, are absolute hoots and amazing. And the kind of chemistry we have together, I think, makes for a really entertaining show. And, you know, if you love, then this is your show. And if you're also a couple planning to get married, this is your show. But it has, you know, incredible films. I can't even call them wedding videos. They're films, because I ran down to Todd when I saw the first cut, and I was like, Todd, you're going to be impressed, and your standards are so high. Wait till you see, you know, the types of films we're seeing on this show. So it's been a blast.
And finally, before you go, is there a new frontier in television that you want to do? For example, I remember years ago, Scott Hamilton, who was a great figure skater and a great analyst, too, on television, he regularly appeared on the Pyramid game show, and he was very good. He was a great Pyramid game player. Do you see yourself maybe doing a game show, either hosting or being a celebrity contestant or something else? Where do you want to stretch yourself?
So Johnny and I do a lot of game shows. We just did Name That Tune, which was so exciting. We competed on that, and we show up at a lot of places. We did Wheel of Fortune. It's always fun opportunities. But yeah, I think like hosting is sort of what I'm loving now, and I think that would be, you know, an incredible opportunity if something like that came along. So that's what I said. You know, for me, it's always just exciting to take on new opportunities that are outside my comfort zone. And I kind of wing it. I don't know always how I'll do, but I'll wing it. I'm kind of notoriously bad at game shows, so I usually lose them all.
Well, you know, you got Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, Celebrity Jeopardy, all sorts of, you know, all these primetime game shows, and $100,000 Pyramid is coming back with Michael Strahan as the host, so you never know. You never know.
You never know. I feel amazing. Like, again, I'd be terrible at it, but I try my best.
For sure. If you want to catch Tara Lipinski's work as a figure skating analyst with Solo or with her partner Johnny Weir, catch it on NBC or on Peacock. NBCSports.com is where you can go to stay in touch on their figure skating coverage. And you can also catch Tara's wedding show on Crackle, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices. That's a mega content service. Also on Crackle's Chicken Soup for the Soul's own ad-supported channel. It's also running on smart sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. For more details about that, go to Crackle.com. Tara, thank you very, very much for spending most of the last half hour with us. It's been a delight all the way. Congratulations to you, Johnny, Terry, on all the great work you're doing with NBC Sports and figure skating, and hopefully we hear from all three of you much, much more in the year and year ahead.
I hope so. It was great chatting with you.
Same here, Tara. All the greatest. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Tara Lipinski joining us live from California, Internet Radio exclusive right here on Smart Be Televised. Coming up next, Bob Rose, the president of the new Asian American network, Chime TV. How's it doing 1 month in? Where is it going from here? We'll find out as we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Sim Radio's To Be or Not to Be special. It's all about love songs and some unloved songs, too. It's coming up your way on post-Valentine's Day, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best beats are 24/7 right here at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon. Beautiful post-Super Bowl day, pre-Valentine's Day, Monday afternoon. Simon Amell with you live from New York. 53 degrees, the bottom of the hour. And now joining us live, the president of the new Asian American network, Chime TV, Bob Rose. Bob, thanks for coming in.
Simon, how are you, man? Good to talk to you.
Very, very fine, thank you. And where are you calling from today?
I'm actually in Manhattan, probably not far from you.
Ah, the heart of Nueva York.
Yeah, so, yeah, recovering from those Super Bowl commercials, you know, kept me very engaged last night.
Mm-hmm. I got to ask you, what did you think of the game, and what did you think of Fox's coverage?
Well, the game was ended up being epic until a very strange ending with a referee deciding the game with a holding penalty, or certain seemed a little sort of misplaced as a penalty. But and I thought the first half was a little slow, but second half was fantastic. I always love their halftime shows. I'm mesmerized by their set designs and, you know, their technology and what they're able to do. And I really did find the ads, many of them, to be great. You know, it's an incredible world out there. So I'd love to see what could be done creatively. That's my takeaway is, man, this is the creativity of America shines through when I watch the Super Bowl.
And I'll have more to say, by the way, about Fox's coverage of the Super Bowl and the game on Wednesday on Sports News Wire. That's the daily show on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. Just premiered on Amazon Freebies multi-channel bundle. And that's at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Bob, Chime TV now is up and running for about a month. What's been the reaction to it?
Reaction's been fantastic. As you know, we launched on January 22nd, 23rd across Charter Spectrum's households. We are very happy with the quality of the network, with the operation of the network, and the preceding the launch, the night before the launch, we had 500 people show up at the Japanese American National Museum in Los Angeles. And what was most notable about that event was the number of different Asian cultures that showed up and participated. We really are putting many cultures under one umbrella through this network and delivering it in English. And I really think it's about the promise. So we have a long way to go, but you know, for 3 weeks in, I'm happy.
And if you have a question or comment for our guest, Bob Rose, the president of Chime TV, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers get anywhere. You'll catch us with country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's available on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, Eagles territory, is in the room. Bob, one of the ongoing issues in TV has been trying to get a network like this not only off the ground but running, and running for a very long time. We've had a number of attempts over the decades to do it, and for one reason or another, they got the plug pulled, whether it was Imagination TV, AZN from Comcast, first known as International Channel, MNET, et cetera. This is the latest. What about the way this network is structured and the programming and so forth gives you and Faith Batista, the chief executive officer, and everyone involved, the sense that this is finally going to fly? We are finally going to see an Asian-American-owned network that is going to be, as I mentioned in the tease at the top of the program, the equivalent of BET for African-Americans and Univision Telemundo for Latinos.
Well, I think that, number one, we have a super talented team that has succeeded in this business. And understands the pitfalls. We are spending money wisely. We think there's a lot more content already produced out there around the world, as well as potentially within America and North America, for that matter, that is dying to get seen in this country. So, you know, it's our job to curate, to find the best, and so forth. And I think that there's the creative community, AAPI creative community, and obviously it's bigger than AAPI. It's Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander. That is our at least who we want to represent. And I believe you will find, as you look, for example, at the Academy Awards this year, that the excellence of the community on a creative level that I just spoke about is going to shine. And we are going to capture what's out there and offer a home. Plus, we have something that didn't exist when those other networks are around, which is a digital environment, Chime TV Plus, which will be a product available probably within the next 2 weeks, maybe a week, is going to be a subscription service that'll have a lot of VOD offerings, on-demand offerings that'll go way beyond what's on the network, coming from users who want us to test their programming. Short form, long form, whatever it may be, and we're going to give them a home. So I think the answer really rests with the fact that the Asian culture, the AAPI culture, is producing content, is capturing the imagination of Americans, and they're knocking on our door. We have a process of evaluating content that is sort of overwhelmed in terms of offerings. So I think it's about content, and we're going to make sure we get the very best and run the network with an eye towards being prudent on how we spend dollars. And that's where I come in, to make sure that we crawl, we walk, we run, we do things smart. We have talked to further investors that are very, very interested in this and believe what we believe, which is that there's a hole in the landscape and that this thing has huge potential. They think our valuation is greater than what we even have on paper, and they believe that with their help and their access to producers that they have throughout their company or within their company right now, we will have even better content. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, we're going to fail. We are not going to fail. We believe in serving an audience that hasn't been served, creating a home for creatives, building a phenomenal team as we have, programming to ad sales, to the distribution side, and to having a leader that is a force of nature, in Faith Battista, that came to this country 20 years ago. She had never even owned a television as a child. She used to have watched television through a neighbor's window when she was, you know, growing up in the Philippines. She came here within the last 20, 25 years, built a name for herself in the advocacy world through nonprofits, and has succeeded. And there's no question that when the light went off on her head and said, I want to have a channel, and she took it to Charter Communications, and the CEO at the time, Tom Rutledge, and she said, what do you think about this? He goes, no one's ever come in our door with that idea, and sit down and do a deal. And that's how it happened, all on good faith, no pun intended, but just on a belief that Faith could get it done, because they knew her very well from their diversity relationship.
Incidentally, Faith was on our program last year, shortly after Chime TV announced themselves at an event in Chinatown here in New York last summer. And we should let you know that Faith was invited to come on today's program. Unfortunately, she recently had a death in the family. She's dealing with that, and dealing with that very, very powerfully, I might add. So we just want to offer, first of all, our condolences to Faith and her family on their loss, and also want to let her know that she is more than welcome to come on this program anytime. So just wanted to let you know that we're thinking of her very, very much. Let's talk about the creative community that you are reaching out to. We know that there is a lot of Asian American, Pacific Islander television talent out there. Some of them are already doing shows. You have people like Christina Kim doing Kung Fu on the CW, which may or may not be able to get a next season, depending on how the CW is dealing with its new owner, Nexstar. You had Georgia Lee doing Partner Track, which has a wonderful star named Arden Cho. You have the folks behind Everywhere, Anywhere, All at Once, that meant the movie that very well may be a major Oscar contender. Michelle Yeoh is doing a series for Netflix, as well as doing The Witcher, Blood Origin show, the sequel that was recently premiered on Netflix a couple of months ago. You have a lot of new talents that are working with places like Sundance and various TV festivals and film festivals to get their work out there. Earlier this month, we had Lindsay Goffman, the executive producer of the new ABC series, The Company Keep, which has a wonderful new Asian talent named, which is based on a Korean format. She worked with Daniel Day Kim on The Good Doctor. She's also working on other new Asian American formats, adapting for U.S. audiences, U.S. networks. And by the way, that show premieres next Sunday on ABC with a wonderful new talent named Catherine High Tank, which, by the way, coming on, you're going to be hearing a lot more from her. We're always trying to the promo sport. What kind of outreach, Bob, are you doing with that creative community, and what is the message for them? Is it, you know, at some point we are going to, you know, you will have the opportunity, whether you've been in this business for a long time or fairly new, to do scripted shows, to do original unscripted shows, to do music variety, to do all sorts of, you know, things for us.
Great question. Well, we're a general entertainment network, so there's no barriers to the kinds of content we can provide. We welcome collaboration with other organizations in the industry that are AAPI, AA, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, and we'll explore everything possible. We want to attach ourselves to the very best creative talent there, and basically say to them, bring us your content. Even if the content is an idea, we certainly are willing to talk to them, talk about how we could collaborate, co-produce. We have a partner when it comes to content acquisition that can help take their ideas and push them out worldwide as well. We have a number of creative people coming to us, knocking on our doors, saying we want to be a part of this. Influencers, notably, that have show ideas. And it's kind of us. Once the knock on the door answered with Netflix and a few others, where are they going to go? And we hope they'll come to Chime TV and work with us, and we're going to be ultra creative about how we can approach funding these ideas. I mean, there are literally about 6 ideas right now that I'm looking at saying, what do we want to do? First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. A lot of it is reality, not a lot of scripted yet, but reality is more realistic for a network in its infancy. And some very sponsorable concepts as well. This is the most creative but underserved, underrepresented ethnic group in America. Incredibly smart, as educated, family-oriented, hungry, disciplined. They're going to make some wonderful content. So the answer is we hope everybody out there that has ideas will submit their ideas to us, and we will talk about collaboration. I was actually approached by somebody that I've worked with in a previous life, who is a black music artist. He's fantastic. He's in the rap genre. He told me that he has somebody that wants to do a show with us on Asian rap, and I'm like, bring it on, man. It sounds fantastic to me. So, the world is 60% plus Asian. The talent out there is immense, and it's really I think it's already known. Chime TV is going to be a home for content, and the reason investors really want to work with us is they think we will be the brand forever when it comes to television, at least, and digital platforms, and they want to get behind us. And so, I guess the answer is we open the door, we collaborate, we'll talk to everybody. I hope we don't have any attitudes about, preconceived attitudes about various companies. There's a lot to work with, and more than we can handle, honestly, at this stage. So we really want to, when we knock on the doors with further distribution, you may talk about this, but other companies like Comcast, DirecTV, Dish, that world, we want to make sure we have content that's not only going to appeal to Asian Americans, but all Americans. And we also want to create content in America that looks like what Asian Americans and Americans together look like. The world in America, it's not as segregated as people want to make it sound. And if you walk down the streets of New York or out in California, there's so many families that, have a Japanese wife and a, Jewish husband or whatever it may be. And that's what we want to ultimately look like.
By the way, I just very quickly, I when I mentioned all those series creators, I should have mentioned Su Hu also, the person behind Pachinko, which has been nominated for a number of awards, Critics' Choice Awards, and hopefully maybe up for some Emmy Awards this coming year. That's already into a second season on Apple TV Plus. So I should mention Su Hu as well as another critic.
Are you working with people like Cape,
the Coalition for Asian Pacific Entertainment, and or Sundance, or working with some of the upcoming film and TV festivals to sort of scout out talent?
Yeah, I think it's our talent. Talent is critical for us to identify. I know how the ad-supported cable networks work, and we need to reach out to everybody. And they hopefully will come to us as well. So you have a great grasp on the world. The world in terms of Asian creative success is booming right now, and I you know, like obviously rising tides lifts all ships or boats or whatever you want to say. And so please, you know, this, we hope this podcast, your message, you're able to deliver today is, you know, is sort of a calling card saying, you know, come talk to us. I do believe that with the success of the network, us able to deliver on the revenue targets and distribution targets we have, Shine TV Plus targets, we're going to be able to create a lot of original content down the road, or at least trial original content ideas. And that's another thing that's very different than the AZN days or Imagination days. You can develop a pilot. You can test that pilot on digital, and you can get a good feel for when the audience is going to like it and who that audience is and what part of the country they're watching it in. And so, you know, we don't have to commit to 10, 20 episodes. We can experiment, and we can do 15-minute, 10-minute short-form versions of half-hour shows and hour shows. And, you know, we really think this – we want people to see this as an outlet that is not only for the AAPI community, but for all Americans who understand that there is, you know, the content is king, and we'll find great programming, and creatives that are creating that programming are going to open up the door for us to make a really exciting network for all of America.
Let's talk distribution, and we'll talk advertising quickly. In distribution, you're currently on Charter's Spectrum Systems. Where are you at in terms of getting other cable operators, getting the smart TV set and device makers, the multi-channel bundle people to get behind and make this available?
Well, you know, the process, it's a process. And we were put on hold for discussions with all distributors by those distributors until this network launched. And to your earliest point in this conversation, they start out the same way by saying, we've seen too many networks not get to the starting line, number one, and we are at the starting line. We're past the starting line. We're up and running. Number two, they say the networks promise one thing and deliver another, and we are delivering exactly what we promised, and it looks great, by the way, if you haven't seen it. Channel 147 in New York and in L.A., it's on across 147 a lot of Charter Spectrum homes, but you have to check your listings depending on what market you're in. 41 states have this channel. And then the third thing they want to know, which is obviously what everybody is concerned about, is what's your staying power. And I can assure you our staying power is going to be forever as far as I'm concerned. We are not going to fail. So now it's a process of, you know, saying to them, what can we do for your community? What can we do for your business? I believe that if you're working with a big company like Comcast, Xfinity, or DirecTV, or Dish, diversity extends to supplier diversity, extends to programming diversity. I believe that there are, if you are an AAPI executive, manager, any level within any of these companies, that you are really going to be excited about this channel, and you're going to say to your people, let's get this channel on. So, you know, it's a process. As you know, I worked in distribution most of my career, and I'm confident that when the next round of launches come around, whether it be in the spring or late in the year, we're going to reach that goal of 30 million subs by early 2024.
And finally, we've got about a minute left, Bob. Where do things stand on advertising? Are there any plans also to do an upfront event in New York on China's behalf?
Well, I don't think we're doing an upfront event, although we are having conversations about upfront strategy in a sense. So we have an ad sales team that's working with all the holding companies circulating coming at it from a traditional way as well as a DE&I perspective. And we have gotten some great advertisers, more on the way. I was watching the Super Bowl and thinking to myself, did I just see a TurboTax ad on Super Bowl? Well, guess what? We have TurboTax, you know, which says a lot to me about the way this network's perceived. I've got companies that are very interested in this network, that from the brand perspective, from the corporate perspective, that are pushing it to their agencies, a big bank, for example, a couple big banks actually, that are saying to their agencies, please look at Chime TV. When you're an emerging network, we ask that the advertising industry recognize that they don't treat us the way you treat a well-established traditional network. It doesn't work that way. Simon, I go back many, many years in this industry, and it's not about dots and spots at the beginning for advertisers. It's about them appreciating what this brand can be, what audience it's reaching, connecting with that audience, and whether or not it's something different and unique. I remember the days when ESPN started. I was with their ad agency, and I remember Budweiser committing $1 million a year to that network. And there were no ratings. There were no guarantees. There was nothing like that. It was just wrapping their arms around ESPN saying, this is really good for us. And I think that's what the advertising community has to do when they think about an emerging network that's not going to have deals and ratings, that is serving an audience that really hasn't been served in a hyper-targeted way. It's worth serving them.
And, Bob, we're going to have to leave it there. I do hope, though, that sooner rather than later, at least you do a press event in New York with both general press and with the Asian American press in New York and around the country so that more people get to know what Chime TV is up to and where it's going. And, by the way, we would love to have your show creators, show producers anytime. We would love to have them on. Chime TV now is playing on Charter Spectrum, hopefully playing soon on other cable operators around the country, as well as smart TV sets, smart devices, et cetera. For more details about the service online, go to chimetv.co. That's chimetv, chimetv.co. Bob, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations to you, Faith, everybody involved on the launch and your first month and how it's going. And hopefully this is the Asian American network that really breaks through and becomes something very, very special, not just for Asian American audiences, but for all audiences across the country and around the globe.
Thank you, Simon. Always great to talk to you. Appreciate you having me on, and we will put that press event together shortly.
All right. You got it, Bob. Take care. All the greatest.
Take care, man. Bye.
Bob Rose joining me here in New Web, New York. Thanks to both of our guests being with us today. All of you for tuning in. Remember, coming your way on Friday, we will have the creators of the new Apple TV Plus series, Hello Tomorrow, Amit Bhalla and Lucas Jensen, and from Lifetime's made-for-TV movie, Connor Allen and Benjamin Anderson. Came in late on today's episode. Want to catch up with episode miss? Go to the homepage, Blocks of Greater Concourse. I televised. Check out our podcast and our website, smartlytelevisedonemployment.com. And catch me on Wednesday, Sports Newswire, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network, now available on Amazon 3D. The views expressed are those of the participants, not those of the Blocks of Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toes, B-Charge, General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg, Head of Content. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your day and your week. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody out there, including my mom. Love you always and forever. Back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. And don't forget, between now and then, please make whatever you're doing safe and make it absolutely great, especially tomorrow on Valentine's Day. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.